We're back. It is another live edition of Courtside with Campbell and Knezovic, a Saturday edition of a live Courtside with Campbell and Knezovic right here on ESPN 102.5 Game. A huge week of college basketball this week, Michelle. A loaded slate today. It's 11 o'clock, so we have some games tipping off. College Game Day just went off the air on ESPN, so Illinois-Michigan State is tipping off here in just a little bit, but we got to start off with the week that was, and there was one big game this week, Michelle, that anyone that is familiar with our programming knows you are the resident Kentucky grad on the show. We had the big rematch in Knoxville.
Okay, Elijah, we get it. You're hyping it up a lot. No,
it was a big game in Tennessee. Didn't necessarily do what Kentucky did to them in Rupp, but Tennessee won in a way that they haven't been familiar with winning, and that's winning a game in which they have to score more than 70 against a really, really good defensive basketball team. So with Tennessee coming away with that win, Michelle, what were your initial thoughts in the game, your biggest takeaways, and as a Kentucky fan and
Kentucky grad?
You're a grad, I guess. A grad's the best way, a more professional way of saying it.
But, I am. Yeah. You know I'm a fan.
Yeah.
No, I just want to start off and say, loving the Saturday setup. We've got, I'm watching the game right here. College Game Day was just on. You always see the student shoot the half-court shot, see if they're going to win a couple thousand dollars.
Oh, love those.
Love it. Great energy this morning. It's All-Star Weekend. I'm repping my Larry Bird shirt if you're watching on the stream. We love vintage sports apparel, but that's my little gist for this nice Saturday morning. And now we will get to business, Elijah.
Yes.
Tuesday, Super Tuesday, was not very super for me.
It started off well. I mean, Kentucky did get off on that 8-2 run. It's just everything that happened afterwards wasn't as fun for you.
So I've had a lot of time this whole week to, you know, mourn the loss. On the morning show, I made a bet with Robbie Stanley, who's one of our morning hosts, and he's a big Tennessee fan. And we made a bet that if Kentucky won, he would have to wear a Kentucky shirt, and if Tennessee won, I would have to wear that gaudy orange shirt.
Ooh.
And needless to say, I was rocking orange this week. But honestly, Elijah, this Tennessee team, I would say, this was their best performance this year.
Yeah, it's safe to say.
They offensively looked so put together, which is something we haven't seen. And to have a bounce back like they did, Kentucky, that 28-point loss in Lexington about a month ago, was the last SEC game they lost.
Mm-hmm.
There was pregame press conferences, and the Tennessee players were saying, this is embarrassing. We never want to feel this way again. And when you lose by that big of a margin, you know they're coming back for revenge.
Oh, yeah.
And it's in Knoxville. They've got a packed stadium. It's a night game. Too late for me. And once I saw that Tennessee was running away with the game, I honestly was frustrated. And I was like, they won. But offensively, the team looked great, which is something we talked about earlier this season. They were number two defense in the country. And we really just couldn't see them consistently just making buckets, to be honest.
Yeah.
And now with Zakai Ziegler and Kennedy Chandler feeling a little bit more comfortable on the court together, Zakai Ziegler is going to be, I want to say, a franchise player for Tennessee, but he is going to be a thorn in the SEC side for the next 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
And Tennessee is very lucky to have him. I would say he is the biggest takeaway from that game, was such a game changer, put a lot of pressure on Sever Wheeler of Kentucky, you know, a couple steals. And also Fulkerson, he was able to push and get around Oscar Tshiebwe, which nobody else has been able to do this year. It's funny though, because we always talk about Oscar, he's in the running for National Player of the Year, looks like the front runner right now, averages about 16 rebounds a game, which is just absolutely
ridiculous, insane.
Yeah. And you're watching the game and you're like, oh, like, it doesn't look like he had that good of a game. It looks like Fulkerson, you know, kind of handled him out there. And then you go look at the stats and it's like, oh, like, he still had like 15 rebounds.
Oh, yeah. It was a
small game for him, and he's still just averaging 15 rebounds, all that.
And I think the biggest thing, too, is I love the point on Ziegler, because that might be Rick Barnes' best recruiting find. I mean, Rick Barnes is known as the guy who was able to land the Kevin Durant recruit. I mean, DJ Augustine,
KD turned into
Ford,
a pretty good player.
Yeah, I'd say his career panned out pretty well. LaMarcus Aldridge, a guy whose career panned out really, really well. And it goes in my personal hall of really, really good. Won't be a Hall of Famer, but I think his career was very underrated. Rick Barnes found a lot of those guys. But he's also, like with Ziegler, I mean, 5'9", brings him in as like the secondary ball handler to Kennedy Chandler. And he comes off the bench and gives you spark. And that's one of the things I noticed about this game, too, is 14 points off the bench. The Vols had two players have 14 points off the bench with him and Fulkerson. And if you're Tennessee, like you were talking about, like the offense is getting a lot better. And yes. I think
at a crucial time in the season,
at the time they need to get better. And when you look at Tennessee scoring 46 points in a half, if I had told you that they just scored 46 points in a first half against a Kentucky defense a month and a half ago, you'd have laughed me out of the studio. But they're they're finally getting some scoring balance, and they're finally getting John Fulkerson to not have to take more than 10 shots to finally get to the line a little bit. Like, this is one of the worst free throw, I guess, rate teams in the country. They were one of the worst at getting to the line. But they got to the line at a really good rate. They shot 23 free throws.
I was just going to say, I think I saw 22, and then Kentucky only got to the line, I think, about 14 times.
Yeah.
And also, switching over to defensively, we already knew that this Tennessee team was a great defensive team earlier this season, you know, what were they ranked? I think the highest as second in the country in defensive performance. Obviously, that Kentucky game, Kentucky was just shooting the lights out. I mean,
your effective field goal shooting is in the 70s. There's not a game you're losing.
Yeah,
you don't lose those games.
To be honest, when they're shooting threes like that and just making pretty much every single one, defensively, there's really... I mean, I don't think it was an awful defensive game for them.
Mm-mm.
It was just
not
Kentucky was shooting their lights out. And you look at you take a look at this game. They did such an amazing job of just affecting Kellen Grady. Kellen Grady is, I would say, Kentucky's best 3-point shooter.
For
him getting out in he could not get anything up.
Yeah,
I think he might have shot, might have had four shots in the whole game.
They ran him off the line really well. Yeah, and in terms of 3-point attempts, he ended up shooting six threes, but only hit two.
Yeah,
33% for a guy who is a career 40% 3-point shooter is insanely impressive. And they just made him uncomfortable.
A lot more than six a game.
Exactly. And they just made him uncomfortable. They even made Shibuya uncomfortable whenever he actually got the ball. Because Shibuya took what I thought was an abnormal amount of shots. Like, he shot 15 times and missed 10. I think that's the way to guard Shibuya, is not let him get comfortable and not let him get too close to the basket. And if you can concede an 8 to 10 footer from him, you won the possession. If he gets the ball inside 4 feet, it's over. You lost the possession. And Tennessee kind of played that really, really well. I think they scouted Kentucky
really well.
Really well. And another thing, too, Jonas Idu, 3 blocks in that game. A guy who has been a non-factor all season long.
Mm-hmm.
They're able to finally get him in the rotation, and not just get him in the rotation. This guy played 18 minutes and blocked 3 shots and grabbed 3 offensive rebounds. Which against Kentucky, you have to do, because if you can't create second opportunities, Kentucky's good enough defensively to make those first opportunities bad enough to where they're going to limit your chances, limit your good chances. And then on the other end, they're the best offensive rebounding team in the country. They create their own easy second chances.
Their easy second chance points. Also, another story, Tennessee forced turnovers. Do you have the stats in front of you? I think Kentucky had 14 turnovers in that game.
Yeah, Kentucky they end up having 12, but only 12. 11 assists. Kentucky doesn't lose the assist-to-turnover ratio battle.
No.
Hardly ever.
Especially with Sevier Wheeler and Ty Washington, which was a big loss for them.
Mm-hmm.
Ty Washington had gotten his leg twisted up, it looked, in the Florida game, which was right before this Tennessee game.
Mm-hmm.
And it was questionable whether he was going to play or not. And Cal actually talked in the post-game press conference, and he said, you know, Ty was like, I'm fine, I'm playing, I need to play, advocating for himself. And Cal, in the postgame, said, you know, I shouldn't have played him. I shouldn't have played him. And he said that he wishes he didn't, because obviously if you watch the game, Ty was out there for pretty much a majority of the first half, but he wasn't himself.
Right.
He couldn't
that
move.
That kind of injury.
You could tell he wasn't moving around quick, you know, Kennedy Chandler and Ziegler were able to get around him more.
They were
able to hound him. He didn't look like himself. And then he ended up sitting out the rest of the game. And I'm not sure if he's going to play today against Alabama.
Yeah, it'd be tough for him to play against Alabama today. If you're Kentucky, you kind of almost want to look at the forest through the trees here and be like, we need him to be 100% healthy because of what we just saw here. If he's not 100% healthy and he's playing, and you play a team like Tennessee that has two really great defensive guards, they can force three turnovers in only 13 minutes, which is what Ty Washington ended up with in the game. And it'd be pretty significant.
A more severe injury.
Yeah, exactly.
As we're heading into postseason.
To miss March.
No, and you'd rather sit him for these next couple games, get 100% healthy. He's good for the SEC tournament, which is coming up here in just about a month, and March. Kentucky's record right now, they're fine.
Yeah.
And they can win without him. They have other people who can fill those positions. Obviously, with him, it's a different story. Mm-hmm. But they have a deep bench where they can rotate players in.
And that's their biggest strength. And we'll get to that on the other side as well, because I want to get into Kentucky still being a national title contender, but also with Tennessee getting this win, how should we think of them in terms of where they belong in the big picture of college basketball, considering a month ago a lot of college basketball analysts were kind of burying them because of their lack of offense? Does Tuesday night change how we think of them going down the road? We'll break down that. More from around the SEC on the other side as you're listening to Courtside with Kamel Knezovic right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Off and running on this morning's Courtside with Campbell and Knezovic. Tennessee, Kentucky had the big game on Tuesday, and they're going to have a lot of bigger games as the season rolls along. I'm Elijah Campbell. She's Michelle Knezovic. I'm rocking my Campbell Fighting Camel shirt.
I love
for
it.
Everyone on the live stream.
And I'm rocking, I already showed it, but the bird, Larry Bird. Got it at the coolest vintage shop in Syracuse, New York. Shout out Scholars and Champs. The best vintage sports gear. Nugget, if you know me, I'm very vocal about that. I went to the University of Kentucky. I also got my master's at Syracuse. And I got a shirt, which I should have worn it today. And it's the 96-97 Final Four. And it was Kentucky, Syracuse, and when Coach Cal coached at UMass.
Yeah, Marcus Camby anchor teams.
Yeah. That shirt is my prized possession because I was like, okay, first off, it's college basketball, NCAA tournament, and then all of my connections.
That is a find. That is a find and a half right there.
My guy Bert hooked me up with that one. He's the one who owns the shop, but we love some vintage sports gear.
See, one of my favorite possessions, and it's a hat, but it's it's really dirty, it's really old, but it was my dad got it because my dad went to the Final Four in 1997 in San Antonio.
Okay.
That had Arizona, Kentucky, North Carolina, and Minnesota in it.
Minnesota.
That was the Arizona. and it was so random of a field. But Arizona ended up winning that one, and it's a random year, random champion almost. That team was really good. But and the history of college basketball, Miles Simon is a random Final Four most outstanding player. But my dad got the hat from there, and I have it to this day. I don't get to wear it out much because it's old and it's pretty disgusting looking. But it is a vintage Final Four hat. One
priceless.
Of my
it's gonna. I was just gonna say it's be priceless someday. Also, I do have to mention. I just saw on Twitter, Jerry Tipton just tweeted, "Do not see Ty Washington or Sevier Wheeler among the UK players participating in early pregame warmups."
Ooh,
so if both of them are out today, you're gonna see a lot from Davion Mintz, who's probably gonna be running at the point guard position today.
Mm-hmm. Which is not something he's done too much of. He's played a lot of off ball, but. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's going to have to play. He's going to have to play today,
Because
those are two big losses.
Huge.
Yeah.
And huge losses.
But that's the thing about this Kentucky team too is I think they're almost. They're the most equipped in the country to handle a catastrophic injury.
Mm-hmm.
I almost said they're catastrophic injury proof. There's not many teams that are, but
wouldn't that be nice?
Yeah, exactly. But Kentucky's the closest thing to that because of. Yeah. Because of their bench. And that's one thing that we're going to talk about now is that even though Kentucky lost this game, and I was telling you before we got on air, before the show even started, I still love this Kentucky team. I mean, this is a team that scores at all three levels.
I like to hear that.
You they're a hard scout, because I think Oscar Tshiebwe can have a game like he did against Tennessee where he goes 5-for-15, whatever. But you're such a good offensive rebounding team that they can afford to be a little less efficient than a lot of other teams. Not a lot of other teams have guys like Davion Mintz and Jacob Toppin that can come off the bench and give
even
you that
Keon
many minutes.
Brooks sometimes.
And Keon Brooks even comes off the bench sometimes, and he's a quality starter. To me, the way this team is built is built for March, because you got to get scoring from a lot of different places, and the Kentucky scoring balance to me is what makes them probably like not only the favorite to win the SEC, but I think they should be a top 3 or 4 favorite to win the title in college basketball.
So to that point, this is kind of what we talked about with Alabama earlier this season.
Mm-hmm.
Nate Oates's offense is built around the 3-pointer.
Yep.
And when you only have, what do we say, 2 to 3 players on the team this year who are shooting above 35%, I think we said.
It might even be 33. I think the number might have gone down because as a team, they're shooting 30%.
Okay, yeah.
As a team.
Which
it's
his offense
low.
Is yeah. all 3-pointers. Essentially, that is the yep. way he runs his teams. But what you said about Kentucky with their depth on the team, you can have 4 or 5 players scoring in 10 points. So if somebody's having an off night, somebody else can pick up the slack. When you have teams like Alabama, which the two are playing today in about an hour, you run into a rut and you get frazzled when your main guy can't hit anything. And then you got to figure out other ways to create baskets.
Mm-hmm.
And when you don't have the depth on your team and you don't have other players who can even just get you 5 or 6 points here or there, it hurts, especially in March.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's what a lot of teams like, and that's why like, Villanova is the perfect counterexample
mm-hmm.
to where, like this year, I love this Villanova team. They have a starting five as anybody in college basketball, but they don't go past 2 guys on their bench, and the guys that are on their bench don't play more than 10 minutes in a game.
Yeah.
That's going to be what keeps them from winning a national title this year. Like I said, love their starting five. I think it's one of the best starting fives in college basketball. I think that's going to be the one reason they're still going to end up winning the Big East.
Mm-hmm.
If not the regular season, I think they're going to win the tournament.
Okay. Oh.
But not having that depth in March, if a player gets in foul trouble, or if Colin Gillespie goes down again like he did at the end of last year.
Or if somebody gets in COVID protocol.
Someone goes in COVID protocol. Yes. Like, it is the ultimate game changer at that point. And I think Kentucky is one of the few teams in college basketball that can really withstand that. Like, if Baylor loses James Akinjo, I don't think they have the guard depth to make a run. You know, if they have great forward depth, and we're going to find out how great that forward depth is since Jonathan Shamwa-Chachua has been hurt, and that's already shown where Texas Tech exploited that lack of depth. Baylor is going to be a lot different team at the end of the year. I don't think they're that kind of injury-proof the way Kentucky is,
mm-hmm.
and that's, to me, what separates them. And that's also what makes Tennessee a lot more dangerous, too. Is Jonas Idu is giving them 18 minutes like he did in Tuesday night, blocking 3 shots,
yeah.
grabbing offensive rebounds, is being able to make like their margin for error on offense a little less because they're not a fantastic shooting team, but it's making it a little less too to where Tennessee is also more likely to be able to make it the same kind of run we think Kentucky can.
Well, coming in and being efficient, right? You said he only played 18 minutes, 3 yeah. blocks.
It's like almost, I think, 3 or 4 offensive rebounds in that time in 18 minutes.
That is crucial, coming in, making the most of his minutes. Only 18, but that was huge for Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
Think about if
Massive.
You don't have those, if those 3 shots were made by Kentucky. Okay, then
it's
maybe they get
hot.
It's a different game. Like, anything like that can happen. Also, too, depth. We're in a time of COVID, and
mm-hmm.
although it's slowed down a little bit, when it comes to March, you are traveling so much.
Yep.
The games are so close together, and I know that the CDC only requires the 5-day quarantine now if you don't have symptoms, but
mm-hmm.
okay, what if you're playing on a Sunday, and then you're playing on a Saturday, but then you're out 5 days, and then you're not practicing all 5 days?
It's not football. You don't get a week between games.
And technically, you're cleared to play, but you haven't played all week. You haven't practiced all week with your team.
It affects you.
It affects you. You're coming off a game. Maybe you didn't have a great game, and then you have to sit out all – then you have COVID or something. You have to sit out for 5 games, and then – it's one and done. You don't have a second shot in March.
Mm-hmm.
So adding COVID into this too, that's another huge factor that if you don't have depth on your team, it's going to hurt you.
Yeah. Oh, and it could kill you too. And like that's
– especially in March.
And that's what I think – that's the biggest problem for teams like Villanova. Like if you don't have a deep bench or you're not able to dip into that, you're very limited in terms of what you can actually do.
So another SEC game, we talked a lot about Tennessee and Kentucky. We also, another local team, wanted to touch on quick, Vanderbilt has,
yeah.
I mean, they've essentially been a non-threat in the SEC for years now, And this year they had a big win over LSU the other day. Then they just played.
Season defining win.
Exactly. And they just played Auburn, the they're number two in the country, but we're number one in the country. And they didn't have Rodney Chapman, which is a huge loss for the team. We talked about them not having him before the game and thinking, oh gosh, this team's going to get blown out. They ended up, I think, losing by 15 points or so.
14, yeah.
14 points, but tied at halftime. They held their own.
Yeah.
With one of their best players out. I mean, Scottie Pippen showed out, but still, I mean, you have Rodney Chapman in the game. He hits a couple threes for you. It's a different story. The momentum's changed. Liam Roberts coming back off his foot injury has been crucial for this Vanderbilt team.
Massive. And here's the thing, too. I don't want to say that it's fluky because, like, obviously Auburn, when you tell me that Auburn scores 94 points, I'm not going to question it, right?
Yeah.
Like, Auburn is an elite offensive team. They're an elite college basketball team. But they're not known for the three-point shooting. Like, that's not this team's specialty. And they were 11 for 22. I mean, they were knocking down anything in sight. Jabari Smith specifically, 7 for 10
gonna be
from the three-point line.
Top NBA pick.
Top three. And if he falls top to three, if you're a team that gets him at number three, you have lucked out. Because it's very possible that Banchero and Holmgren go 1 and 2 in either direction. Like, those three are interchangeable. And if you're getting one of those guys at number three, that is insane value.
How about this, a little local connection? Ja Morant going 2. You've heard only injuries from Zion down in New Orleans and hasn't had much of an NBA career at all. And then you've got Ja Morant over in Memphis, just triple-double machine, starter for the All-Star game this weekend, which I'm so excited to see him, deserves that, and is in the MVP conversation.
Yep. Oh, and then another guy in that draft class, too, a guy where it's like, oh, if you get this guy at 4 or 5, like, you're happy. Darius Garland is an All-Star.
Yeah.
Another local guy, Brentwood, the best player to ever only play 6 games for Vanderbilt in the school's history. Guy's an NBA All-Star, and that's a guy in that draft where it was, oh, these are the two guys, the two best prizes, you know, in this draft, and everything after that's like, Darius Garland went like, what, 4th or 5th, I can't remember, and is an All-Star now and is a legit starter in the NBA. So it's funny how that works sometimes. I think this draft is every bit as good, if not better. We'll go ahead and break down that a little bit as well, a little more in the SEC too. I mean, stocks are going a bunch of different ways here. Tennessee's going up. I don't know how we really feel
Arkansas's
about LSU.
Arkansas's going up. We haven't even...
And yeah, in a big game today, Tennessee and Arkansas will break down that game. Kentucky and Alabama play. There's other big games going on in college basketball right now. Illinois giving it to Michigan State in East Lansing right now, 17-8.
Boo, Sparties.
The Fighting Joe Rexroads are not having a good time at home. That's a team with some serious turnover issues. They're frustrating to watch sometimes. But we'll go ahead and break down some of the matchups for today, get you ready, give you some gambling picks in the last segment. So much more on the other side of Courtside with Kamel Knezovic. Right here on ESPN, 102.5 The Game. Courtside, Kamel Knezovic, right here on ESPN, 102.5 The Game. I'm Elijah Campbell. She's Michelle Knezovic. Jared Cassidy rolling the tunes and on the ones and twos this morning, bringing you back. We discussed a lot of the games this week. We got a pretty good slate today, a loaded early slate. I like the slate this morning and in the afternoon, more so than I do in the nightcap. College game day at Oregon and Arizona this morning, and that game has been completely ruined because of Oregon's incompetence and inability to win at Arizona State, who is horrific and seemingly every
but
team
Elijah.
In the bubble.
It's college basketball.
It is.
You never know.
It's really funny. So when I do like my bracketology, I'll do my next one this week. I did one a week ago, and when I'm looking at all the bubble teams, there's like one line of demarcation, and that is, how did you do against Arizona State? Because seemingly every team on the bubble played Arizona State this year, and almost every team that I have out lost to Arizona State. And if you beat Arizona State, you're in. Like, it's really funny how that, like, Arizona State ends up being the team that's played every single bubble team this year, and they're like 9-15. They're terrible. So Oregon is on my list if we're talking Darren Donick and Chase on noon on Fridays.
Oh yeah, you guys do them. the who's on the list. Basically, it's like what frustrates you. Kind
oh yeah,
of.
Yeah. Oregon's on mine. Not because I have any emotional invested like interest in Oregon. It's just how do you lose that game when you're on the bubble?
If
I popped their bubble immediately when that happened.
If I had a who's on my list this week, it would have been Tennessee.
It would have been Tennessee for figuring out the whole offensive basketball thing.
For making me get really frustrated and screaming at my TV and being a total Kentucky fangirl. Joe and Robbie in the mornings call me Michelle Perry, one of the texters.
Michelle Perry.
Because I'm just... Listen, I will say it straight, though. Kentucky got handled by Tennessee. And although I can be a fan, I say, guys, let me have at least 24 hours, get the emotions out.
24-hour rule.
24-hour rule. Get the emotions out. And then we can talk a little bit more level-headed about the game. We can talk about how Tennessee whooped their butts.
Yeah.
But it's all fun. Fall fun loving.
Oh, yeah. And then speaking of fun loving, there's going to be some fun loving games today, too. Tennessee and Arkansas. Tennessee had the big test against Kentucky at home. They're on the road against Arkansas today. Arkansas actually favored by two. Arkansas, another team like Tennessee, who's going in the right direction at the right time. Arkansas picked up their big win of the season against Auburn at home in overtime in a thrilling game that we've covered extensively. I really like this Arkansas team. Michelle, when you look at this game right here, Arkansas defensively is clicking at the right time. Tennessee is finally getting the whole offensive thing together. What stands out to you when just looking at this matchup?
Well, I think earlier this year we talked a lot. I'm going to hit the Arkansas side first. We talked about Arkansas and what we wanted to see from their team this year. And that was, you know, at the top of the SEC, mm-hmm. could make a deep run in the tournament just because they did a really good job in the transfer portal.
They had a lot of
older guys on the team, and we talked about how we were interested to see how these guys would mesh together, right? They've got some just veteran leadership, experience on the team, like mm-hmm. you said, crushed the transfer portal. And then earlier this season, had some weird losses, just kind of inconsistent, and we were like, oh, this is not what we envisioned. What we envisioned for them. So we kind
of... The Hofstra loss really turned a lot of people off, and rightfully so.
Yeah. Yeah, when you lose to them and then you're in the SEC as your regular season games, you're like, oh, goodness, a little head scratcher there. You're
Vanderbilt like, oh, won to start the conference schedule.
Yeah,
was
exactly.
Brutal.
So we kind of counted them out, right? We were talking LSU, we were talking Auburn, kind of counted Tennessee out at that time. And then the page turns, right? We're in the heat of SEC play, conference play. We're heading into tournament time, and they got it together real quick. They just beat the number one team in the country, Auburn, mm-hmm. in overtime, in their home field. And they hung with them, right? Game went into overtime. They didn't get frazzled. They stayed calm, cool, and collective. And it was a great win for them.
Season-saving win. That's the one where it was like, okay, this is the Arkansas team we expected to see.
And I still think Auburn is a better team than Arkansas.
That's fair. That's very fair.
But I think today, the momentum that Tennessee has, I mean, we said earlier in the show, they haven't lost an SEC game since Kentucky beat them a month ago.
Mm-hmm.
And they've been slowly but steady climbing. Their offense has been getting better. They've been clicking. The team chemistry just looks a lot better. Zakai Ziegler just at the head with Kennedy Chandler. I picked Arkansas to win today, but now I think I'm talking myself out of it a little bit.
Okay.
Fulkerson, like after that Kentucky game, mm-hmm. I'm like, ooh, I don't know.
Because if you get that out of Fulkerson, then like the team looks a whole lot different because they weren't getting a lot out of him in December and January.
But then also Tennessee hasn't been the most consistent offensively. So then you can look at it like, oh, I could see Arkansas going off and winning by 15.
Yeah, I can kind of see that too. And like, when I look at it, like the big thing, like I'm the reverse. Like when I first saw the line, I was like, oh, Tennessee given 2 points the way they've played recently. Yeah, love it. And it's like the more that I look at it, the more I talk myself into Arkansas winning this game because of what Arkansas is good at, like the specific things that Arkansas is good at defensively. They don't give up a lot of clean looks from three. Tennessee is one of the three-point happiest teams in the conference. And just recently, they're shooting the ball a whole lot better too. And because like they're actually able to drive the ball a little bit. Tennessee's getting cleaner looks, and I think that's the biggest reason.
Like three times with Kennedy Chandler in this Kentucky game. He was wide open, had three beautiful threes.
Yeah, and when Kennedy Chandler's hitting threes like that, like Tennessee can beat anybody in the country.
Yes.
And that was one of my big takeaways from that half, too. Like that's how Tennessee gets a 46-point half against Kentucky. Arkansas doesn't give up those looks, and Auburn found out the hard way. A team that loves to run, they'll run with you. Arkansas has that length and athleticism to run with you, and JD Notae, whenever he's hot, can pour in some scoring too. And Jalen Williams plays a really important role, especially when it comes to limiting you to only one shot. He's one of the is in top 20 in terms of defensive rebound percentage in the country. And I thought that was one of the underrated factors as to why Arkansas pulled off that upset, was because Auburn was forced to shoot jump shots, not their specialty, and they're limited to one shot.
Jabari Smith didn't hit those last two threes in the last 20 seconds of the game.
Arkansas wins that by 9-10 points.
Yeah,
you know?
And like we were just talking about him earlier, is going to be a top three pick in the NBA draft,
mm-hmm.
and hits two threes within 20 seconds.
Yeah.
Which saves them and is the only reason they stayed in the game and went into OT.
He kept them in it single-handedly because Arkansas had an extra gear, and mm-hmm. that could have been fueled by the home court, which a lot of teams that come into Bud Walton Arena with winning streaks usually don't leave them with winning streaks. We talked about that on the show a couple weeks ago when that happened too. So Tennessee coming in with this winning streak right now historically doesn't have good precedent on them leaving Bud Walton Arena with it. So we'll give our final picks here in the next segment when we do give and go, because I'm curious to see what you have. Because like if you look at like the matchup too, it's like Tennessee is not – neither of these teams are great two-point shooting teams.
No.
But they're both good two-point defenses. So it's going to be a lot of, like, who's just shooting better, you mm-hmm. know? Arkansas is shooting a little better in conference play. Tennessee is number 3 three-point shooting team in SEC play this year, something we thought would be unfathomable a month ago.
That surprises me.
That's how good they're shooting as of late.
Just looking on Twitter really quick, NCAA March Madness official account. If the tournament were to start today, the number 1 seeds would be Gonzaga, Auburn, Arizona, and Kansas.
I have no problem with that.
Yep, no problem with that.
No problem with that at all.
All 4 of those teams, pretty much a given, I would say. Elijah, as far as looking at the matchup today, what are your 3 keys to win for Tennessee? What do they have to do to Arkansas to secure another SEC win and keep the momentum rolling as they're heading into tournament time?
I think the biggest thing for me is to be able to win the battle on the boards. Like, that's any basketball game, right? But,
yeah.
like, they've got a newfound, like, boost in terms of offensive rebounding. They're not great at it in conference play this year. They're sitting right at 8th in offensive rebound percentage in this conference. Arkansas is a better than average defensive rebounding team. But with Aidu playing the way he's played, mm-hmm. with Fulkerson kind of getting a little bit of a boost, you know, like, you were able to rebound toe-for-toe almost with the best rebounding team in the country. You need to keep that up, because when you're playing at Bud Walton, they're gonna make you shoot uncomfortable shots. The more you can create second chances like around the rim, the better it's gonna be for you. The second one, and this might actually even be the biggest one, that's keep getting to the free throw line. Like, Tennessee is not a very good
and make them
because Tennessee's not a great free throw shooting team in SEC play this year. Well, they're now 4th because when you hit 20 of 23, that's gonna boost your percentage a little mm-hmm. bit.
And 23 points.
Exactly. And that's like with aggressiveness too, because that not only does that give you free points, but it opens up the perimeter and your 3-point shots are going to get a lot easier. You mentioned the Kennedy Chandler 3, wide open, because now Tennessee is starting to get a little more aggressive. And when you're a little more aggressive at getting to the rim, the 3-point line is going to open itself up, because teams are going to have to help off of shooters. Vescovy's a lot better when he's shooting wide open than when he's shooting with a hand in his face with 5 seconds on the shot clock because he pounded the ball onto the floor and didn't get a paint touch. That's been Tennessee's biggest problem the last couple of years. They're finally getting to the rim. Josiah Jordan-James has done a really good job of that little pump fake on the perimeter, driving by somebody and creating a shot either for himself or for somebody else. And I think Tennessee really needs to hammer that home too.
Help your shooters, Tennessee. Help them.
Exactly. Like, they got to be able to help them. And I guess like the third one is continue that shooting prowess. Like, they're finally finding their stroke from 3-point line. Josiah Jordan-James has shot a lot better. Santiago Vescovi has become an incredible 3-point shooter
yes.
this year. And Kennedy Chandler, when he's able to help out by hitting 3 in the first half against Kentucky, they created enough separation to be able to almost cruise the rest of the way. So, I mean, be able to find those guys, be able to actually rebound at a rate that keeps you or keeps Arkansas from getting second chance points, gives you a chance to get second chance points. If Tennessee is able to do those, especially at the free throw line, a lot of it starts on how well can you get to the free throw line and be able to generate easy points in a hostile environment. Tennessee can win. I just don't know how well they do number two.
Well, and especially in college basketball, home court arena is such a big advantage, too.
Mm-hmm. And Bud Walton is bumping when it, for games like this one, you know.
And, I mean, you saw it against Auburn.
Yeah.
When they stormed the
raucous
court.
Raucous environment.
Also, if you have not seen the ending of that game, you need to look it up because it is so aesthetically pleasing. They had 2 seconds left. Arkansas throws the ball down the court, dunk as soon as the buzzer went off, the lights went off, everybody storms the court, then fireworks. It was absolutely incredible. But they also got fined a lot of money for storming the court. But hey, I think it was worth it for them.
Yeah, absolutely.
Elijah, I just pulled up the SEC slate we've got today. We talked about a couple of the games. The 1 p.m. games, you've got Ole Miss, Georgia. Ole Miss just lost to South Carolina on a buzzer beater the other day.
In heartbreaking fashion.
Yes, heartbreaking fashion. South Carolina, not a very good SEC team. Mm-hmm. Then you've got also at 1 o'clock, you've got Alabama at Kentucky. 2 o'clock, Auburn, Florida, which Bruce Pearl did give all reporters a nugget this week in his press conference and said that they have not won at Florida since the 90s. I don't know the exact year.
Oh, wow.
I need to look that up. I think he said 96, but I was shocked when I heard that.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I didn't know that would be the case either. I mean, yeah, Auburn hasn't been what they've been until Bruce got there. And
no.
I guess if they haven't done it since he's gotten there, that's
so that, one's
that would
your,
make sense.
That's another 2 o'clock game. 3:30, you've got LSU, South Carolina. 4 o'clock. Oh, sorry, these are Eastern time. So it'll be 3 Central, Tennessee,
time
Arkansas,
zones.
And then 5 Central will be Texas A&M, Vanderbilt. And that one is in Nashville if you're looking to go some college basketball at night.
Yeah, and that's when
I think that could be another win for Vanderbilt.
It's also a 93.3 Classic Hits.
That's right.
Yes,
that's
it
a plug
is, Jared.
Right there. It is going to be in the Cromwell Media family of radio stations, so you can hear that just by tuning the dial over to 93.3. Should be a fun one tonight. We'll go ahead and pick some of those. I have some gambling bets. Ooh. I want to toss them over to Michelle, and we're going to see if we're giving or going on this Saturday, a full Saturday slate of college basketball. As you're listening to Courtside with Campbell and Knezovic right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Final segment, Courtside with Campbell and Knezovic here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
I don't want to leave, though.
I don't want to leave either, especially if Jared's going to keep playing bangers like this. Short Skirt, Long Jacket by Kate. All-timer.
I have no idea what this song is. If you listen to Robbie and Rex Road in the morning, Robbie and Joe really educate me on good music.
See, this is good. Early to mid-90s, I would say. Fantastic song. Used to be an iPod commercial. That's how I discovered it back in the day. An iPod commercial. Talk about throwbacks.
We love a little iPod Nano. I had a little blue one. Loved that thing in middle school. Thought I was the coolest girl on the block. They just introduced me to CCR, the band, which I feel like I really...
Oh, my God, yes.
Yes.
Jared knows the vibes.
And
vibes.
If you guys want a funny laugh, this morning I was in my kitchen, you know, getting ready before I came here, making my breakfast, and I was like, Alexa, play that CCR song that talks about the rain.
Yeah, that one. Well, it's funny because they have like
she got me. She got me.
She understood. She understood. She knows all because she's always listening, even when you tell her not to. Man, so you're getting a good education there.
I'm getting. And we're gonna start playing. We're gonna do Led Zeppelin this week. We got a bunch of old school bands that.
Yes.
So if you want some great music, some great rock music, and hear me get educated on those, make sure to listen Monday through Friday, 6 to 10.
Get learnt on music. Speaking of getting learnt. College basketball games today. We talked about Florida and Auburn before we got to the break.
Yes, Elijah.
And you did confirm the
stat
you mentioned
earlier. I did confirm. This Thursday in his press conference, Bruce Pearl said Auburn last won in Florida, ready, February 10th, 1996. 13 straight losses. I've not beaten them down there as Auburn's coach.
Wow.
And then Nick, our intern in there, after the break of the last segment, came in and said he's a little nervous now because he took Auburn on the money line, and now he's like, oh no, shaking his boots a little bit.
Oh yeah, see, and when you hear a stat like that, it's really easy to second guess yourself. But Nick, I would stick to your guns here.
I would still take Auburn money line.
Yeah, I think that one's very fair. I don't know what the spread is right away, but that is that's a game in which.
Yeah, I'm trying to pull it up right now.
I think Auburn's like such a better team. I know Florida's going to be desperate.
Four and a half.
Ooh. Auburn favored. Okay. Yeah, wow. And usually they give 3 points to the home team just for being home.
Yeah, and Florida's going to be desperate because Florida needs this win. If you want to talk about the bubble, all the team Florida's squarely on the bubble. And out of all those teams, they have the worst loss. And that is a home loss to Texas Southern in December.
Yeah.
A team that was 0-7 coming into the year and had a ridiculous losing streak. And Texas Southern came in there and beat the brakes off them from tip to final buzzer. And that is the ugliest stain on their resume. They don't have enough big wins for me to feel comfortable to put them in the field right now. Florida needs this. If Florida can win this game, the Texas Southern loss can be forgotten about easily. Yeah. So I think Florida's going to give them a shot. I kind of like Florida plus the four. That's kind of intriguing, but I still like Auburn to win the game. I think Auburn's just head and shoulders better and deeper.
Is it intriguing, though, because you know that stat?
It's very intriguing.
Because
I know that
if
stat.
I didn't know that stat, I would have crushed Auburn on the 4.5.
Yeah, because there's such a
mismatch. It just gives you, like,
there.
Intuition. You're like, oh, gosh, I don't know.
There's a weird spookiness that comes with a long drought like that that makes you hesitant to almost take points with it. So, like, I think I would kind of hedge. I think Auburn wins, but I like the 4 points with Florida, especially at home, especially given the desperation factor.
Yes.
So we've already got that one out of the way. We'll go ahead and kick off give and go. We have about 6 minutes here, so we'll go ahead, break down some picks. And Michelle, Arkansas -2.5. That is what I'm going with today. Are you giving or are you going?
I'm going with that one.
Okay.
I'm going to take
that.
We talked about this game earlier. We talked about how Tennessee is on a roll, and we've really liked what we've seen from them offensively. And I really do think this game is going to be a pick 'em. It's going to be who's shooting better.
Yeah.
I think these teams are
That's
very.
A big one. Yeah.
As far as looking at their last performances, Arkansas beating Auburn and then Tennessee really manhandling Kentucky the other night. Mm-hmm. I think these teams are both performing at such a high level, way higher than they were a month ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm really excited for this game this afternoon, Elijah, but I am going to give Arkansas the slight edge. It is at home for them. It's a huge, great arena. Also, Tennessee has been on this big winning streak, and I feel like it could be time where they lose a game, you know what I mean?
The law of averages will eventually kick in.
Well, it was
especially
like
when it comes from the three-point line.
Exactly, especially when that is your creme de la creme in this game, who's going to shoot better?
Mm-hmm.
And we look at Auburn, they had that huge winning streak, and then they almost lost to Missouri by one. And then there was another, and then Georgia, and then they almost lost to Georgia. Two of the bottom teams in the SEC.
Bottom feeders. Yeah.
Okay, which is the next game we got today? Are we doing Kentucky-Alabama?
I was going to go to Kentucky-Alabama. I am scared to pick this game against the spread because more than likely you're not going to have Ty Washington. More than likely you might not have Sevier Wheeler based off of what the report we mentioned earlier was. But that game tips off here in 8 minutes. Kentucky right now, it looks like, I don't know what the live line is. This morning it was 6.
Elijah, quick note by Jerry Tipton again. This will be Toppin. Looks like Jacob Toppin is starting. Second start of the season, started against Georgia. It also will be Davion Mintz's third start. So that makes me assume that Ty and Sevier are both out. So it looks like Jacob Toppin, Obi Toppins, who
That's right.
is
having a fantastic season.
And killing it at All-Star Weekend, his younger brother. And then Davion Mintz, who we talked about earlier, if those two aren't going to be playing, he is going to be the one
taking
controlling,
a lot more shots, running
the offense,
mm-hmm.
Which I think Davion Mintz has been a great player. And we've even seen earlier in the season when Ty Washington and Sevier Wheeler, I think it was one game where one of them got hurt and one of them was in foul trouble. Davion Mintz took over, and I think he did a great job. What's the line? What are you taking?
The line's now at 5.5. It was 6. It's now at 5.5.
Kentucky favored.
Kentucky favored. Alabama +5.5 at Kentucky. Are you giving or going? Because I think I want to go Alabama. I'm leaning Alabama to at least keep it close. That's tough. I'm scared to take it. I picked it for the sake of the segment, but I don't like that one's tough. That one's really tough.
Well, it looks like I got to pick it. The half point. If it was five,
hook.
I think it would be easier for me. I think I'm still going to give Kentucky the slight edge.
Okay.
I think coming off that Tennessee game, they're frustrated, they're embarrassed, and it's home court, it's in Lexington. If you've ever been in Rupp Arena,
it can get bonkers.
Yeah, those crazy, crazy Kentucky fans that I love dearly. I'm gonna go with Kentucky for this one.
Okay.
Also, I think a little safer just to take them on the money line.
Yeah.
You don't want to do the spread.
Yeah. I think they definitely win. I don't buy that Alabama's gonna hit enough threes to be able to stay in this, and that's such like a big part of their identity too.
100%.
I think that like and that's ultimately, you know, the kicker for me.
Let's just hope Nate Oates doesn't get ejected again. Got ejected the other night.
He did. Yeah, Nate Oates has gotten a lot of technicals this year. I feel like Nate Oates has been in the crosshairs of
college basketball is getting feisty. You saw in the Tennessee Kentucky game, there were 3 technicals in the first like 4 minutes.
Yeah, and we got a little Super Bowl action where a guy who is not involved in the game gets a technical. Like that's how you know it's a heated game. Yeah. And lastly, we'll go with the game that was on College Game Day tonight. Arizona, Oregon. I'm mad at Oregon. They ruined this game, but the spread is 13. Arizona at home. Are you giving or going?
13?
I think I might take that 13. Arizona's been fantastic against the spread this year.
But 13, Elijah?
Yeah. That would definitely be buying low on Oregon after they got smacked by a bad Arizona State team.
But it's also college.
College game day is in town.
I know.
You never know.
It's a night game.
Yeah.
See, go with the Mo.
Jared says Uncle Mo is undefeated.
I'm not going to take that one, Elijah.
Okay. Not going to tell. Like Oregon in the points, it is a lot of points for a game that is on college game day.
I think also, too, another game we have to hit on really quick, which is tomorrow. Women's college basketball, college game day, South Carolina, Lady Vols. We got to show them some love.
Speaking of teams that ruined what could have been a really good game, the Lady Vols playing their worst at this time of year. There are 2 teams going in different directions, which is a little upsetting.
Also, with the loss of one of Tennessee's best players, but I don't know the line right now because I can't find it, but South Carolina. All the way.
Whatever it is.
Whatever it is. Caroline Fenton and I, who host the afternoon show with Stillman, she was talking to me last night. She said, South Carolina on the spread every single game. She said, Dawn Staley has never let her down. And I believe that wholeheartedly. They are the number one team in the country by far. They played the number 9 team the other day and were beating them by like 20 points.
They're the most dominant team in that sport.
Most
dominant. Without a doubt.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I think they are the clear favorite for the national championship. Bet them on spread every game. That's easy money.
It is easy money. And as much as I love my Lady Vols and I don't like to bet against them, there is no way. I see them winning that game, and I just wish they didn't get on that skid before this game. This game could have been so much bigger.
And shout out College Game Day for showcasing some women's basketball. I absolutely love that idea by ESPN. I think they should do it
more. Fantastic idea.
You do the Saturday slate with the men's games, and then Sunday
the
women's games.
Yeah.
And also, Vanderbilt women's basketball has got a home game tomorrow, 2 p.m., against Ole Miss. I will be your in-game host on the Jumbotron if you want to come over and win some fun prizes. And then you have Vanderbilt men's in town tonight if you want to go watch them.
That's right.
College basketball.
A doubleheader Saturday and Sunday at Memorial Gym. What
Belmont have any home games this weekend? I think they're away.
I know they definitely got done smacking Eastern Illinois. Belmont's definitely going to they got a big one on February 24th at Murray State. They're playing SIU Edwardsville at home tonight, so it's another game.
That's another game you
could
go to.
If you're in town, that'd be a solid one to go to.
Belmont, a team we're really hoping can get enough wins and hopefully win the Ohio Valley Conference so they can be another team
in
the bubble this year, because it would be great to be able to see them make a run, especially after the 2020 season when they were supposed to be in the tournament and then the tournament got canceled.
Yeah, I'd love to see that group get one more crack at it, that's for sure, but Another great Saturday of college hoops already kicked off, and we're going to have more as the day goes along. Best of luck on your bets. You've been listening to Courtside with Kamel Knezovic right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.